Let's talk about Sam Nunn. Now, Sam Nunn was a senator from Georgia. He was first elected in 1972. He was there until 1997. He was always somebody who was nonpartisan, always looking for what was the right thing to do. He was quite involved in looking at defense. And then suddenly in 1997, he left the Senate, and he stunned everyone. Many felt he should run for president. So a few years go by, and he is suddenly chief executive officer of the Nuclear Threat Initiative. The Nuclear Threat Initiative. It's a charitable organization working to reduce the global threats from nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons. And that, to me, is way more important than being president. I mean, I can't think of a more important job in the world. And then to find out in your book that the co-founder of the Nuclear Threat Initiative was Ted Turner was a real eye-opener. Tell us about that, please.
Well, let me speak a bit about Sam Nunn. Here you have a classic blue dog Democrat from the South, i.e. meaning someone who's more conservative. You have someone who was chairman of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate. You have someone who really was an ally of Ronald Reagan and George Shultz during the Cold War. He was a military hawk, if you will. Believed in the premise of mutually assured destruction, and believed that the only way that the Soviets would capitulate was if Americans flexed their muscle. Well, after the Cold War, there was a lot of loose nuclear material floating around, and our warheads, when the Soviet Union broke apart and Russia then inherited the largest arsenals next to our own in the U.S., that they were still pointed at each other on hair trigger alert. And Sam Nunn realized that these represented two huge threats. One, the potential for human error or computer error causing nuclear Armageddon, or two, fissile material falling into the hands of terrorists and someone detonating a bomb, say in New York City. This information came to the attention of Ted. Ted had a discussion with Senator Nunn, and that the discussion revolved around the question, if you were in a position to do something about it and had the resources to do it, should you feel morally obligated to do it? And so Ted Turner ponied up $250 million and with Senator Nunn co-founded the Nuclear Threat Initiative. And I should say that this isn't a partisan issue at all. Sam Nunn and Ted, some of their allies are former Secretary of State George Shultz and Henry Kissinger and over a dozen other Secretaries of State and Defense from Republican and Democratic administrations.
Yes, this is, everybody should have an interest in this. This chapter in your book is called Flashpoint. It's such important reading, and there are such important lessons in it. And as I said, Sam Nunn heading up this effort is just infinitely more important than anything Sam Nunn could have done as an elected official. And nice to know that we have Ted Turner to thank for Sam Nunn being there for all of us.
In 2008, I spoke with Senator Nunn when people were courting him to run for president, potentially as an independent candidate. And he declined, saying that this was most important. And one of the things that I mention in the book, there's a nuclear expert at Harvard University named Graham Allison who has spoken with Ted about this. And as Allison said, the attacks of 9/11, the intent of terrorists initially wasn't to fly an airplane into the Trade Center. It was to detonate a nuclear bomb.
And their intent was to kill 2 million Americans.
As many as they could take out.
This is philanthropy that comes to the heart of everything. And with such a serious subject, let's just move on to what are your takeaways in writing this book and in especially engaging in such important topics as what should we do with the planet environmentally? What should we do with business? And what kind of capitalism do we want to have? And then finally, how do we keep what's really dangerous away from the wrong people? What are your takeaways on this book?
Well, I've been a journalist for 30 years, and if one looks at the divisiveness on Capitol Hill and the way that the civil dialogue in America has turned into a polemic, we can't even talk to each other anymore. And I think what is admirable about Ted Turner is that when we think about Gilded Age tycoons, those people who had vast resources at their disposal, Ted's a new iteration for our time. And I think he builds on the old slogan, lead, follow, or get out of the way. And what he's really trying to do is plod forth in the middle, the radical middle, if you will. He's saying, you know what, I don't care about partisanship. I'm going to try and do what's right. I'm not going to sit on my wealth. I'm not going to hoard it. I'm going to give back, and I'm going to try and make investments in areas where I can have the maximum impact, whether it's managing my own property. And as he says, you know what, we all manage our own property, whether it's a lot in the town or whether it's a ranch on the outskirts. We all have control, and we can all doing that in a better environmentally conscious way. The other thing that he believes is getting involved in capital D democracy, volunteering in your community, working for groups that make the world better, not groups that are trying to tear us all apart. And so hopefully this book will get people to reflect a little bit. You know, granted, few of us can be a Ted Turner, but what Turner has done over the years is he's invested over $360 million in several thousand different grassroots groups across the political aisle. They range from hook and bullet sportsmen's groups to people involved with environmental health in the cities. And so no matter where you are on the political spectrum, Ted has invested in causes, if you care about the environment, that you believe in.
All right. Now, I have to say, this is not a puff piece on Ted Turner. What you come out with is a real understanding of him as a person, the flaws and everything else. When he first got into the bison thing, as you said, he ruffled a lot of feathers or ruffled a lot of leather. That's mixing metaphors somehow. Anyway, we'll try to work around that. But then he learned to have a dialogue with them. So he said his biggest regret was in not staying on top of CNN. Is that correct?
It is. He believes that the media has a powerful role, and he wanted to be a part of that. As he says, imagine the last decade if the news media had done a better job of moderating these issues and had called experts on and helped the public walk through these complicated issues, be it the budget or, you know, be it any number of issues that are plaguing our country. If we were all more informed and better informed and doing so in a spirit of goodwill and not hostility, it could have had a tremendous impact. Instead, we have these media entities that are fighting for ratings, and all they're trying to do is demonize the other side. And I think that if he had remained in control of CNN, that's one of the things he would have fostered.
Okay, and I understand that, and let me give an opposing view.
Please.
Okay. If he had stayed on as head of CNN, and I don't think the other two fellows who booted him out would have allowed that, because he so far outshone them that as long as he was at CNN, nobody would have even given them any attention at all. So I think they had to get rid of him, even though it was to the detriment of CNN and everything else. But the fact that he was no longer at CNN meant that he could quietly do all these other things. He is a serial entrepreneur. That's his love. That's what he does best. Is he's done thousands of little startups this way. And he does it very well. Doing it behind the scenes, he's not the target. If you were still at CNN, he would be a target. He would become the target for CNN, and everybody would have been hitting CNN over the head because of him. This way he gets to get the job done, and he gets dialogue going with everybody. He's learned, he's made mistakes, and he's learned from those mistakes, so he's having dialogue with the people that don't agree with him. He's showing that dialogue does work with everybody, and he's getting a heck of a lot done. So that's my two cents on that.
Well, I agree. I would add this note, however, that being the birth father of CNN, it's really hard to see it go in a direction that you wouldn't have taken it. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you're absolutely right, is that his ouster from the very properties that bear his name ultimately liberated him. it allowed him to become more of a cross-pollinator. And I think if that's the epitaph, it is.
It's a heck of a legacy. All right. Well, thank you so much. I am talking to Todd Wilkinson, whose book, Last Stand, Ted Turner's Quest to Save a Troubled Planet, is available at bookstores now. I'd say get a copy. It will make you appreciate the world, and it will make you appreciate what we all can do to save a troubled planet. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Pam.
This is Pam Wiley-Powell for KPCW Radio, Park City, Utah.